Monday, April 22, 2019, Dakota County Board of Equalization meeting at 1 o'clock, Dakota County Board of Commissioner meeting at 1:02.
Yours, couple pages in.
Okay. I have 1 o'clock.
You got 1 o'clock? Okay. We're going to call to order the Dakota County Board of Equalization for the meeting of April 22nd. It is 1 o'clock. We will start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. And Joan, can you call roll, please?
Kevin?
Here.
Larry?
Here.
Janet?
Yeah, here.
Marty?
Yep.
Tony is absent.
I will make a motion to excuse Tony.
And I'd second that.
A motion and a second.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Kevin?
Yes. Thank you. Okay, a current copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the County Board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. We will start with the consent agenda items. And I need a motion for the approval of the previous minutes for April 8th of 2019.
I'm going to make that motion.
Okay. Motion by Marty.
I can second it.
And a second by Janet.
Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Okay. We will move on to new business. We will review property protests filed by the City of South Sioux City, the City of Dakota City, per 77-202-112, to protest the determination by the county assessor that the property is not used for public purpose. The Board of Equalization shall issue its decision on the protest on or before May 1st, and this decision may be appealed to TURC on or before June 1st. So, you want to start us off, Jeff? Or
yeah, 129 is Dakota City, but I don't know.
Yeah.
So, I'll just touch on them real quickly here, then.
Do we want to give her maybe a little bit of time and start with South Sioux instead?
And certainly whatever the board wants to do is fine.
I'll go. Yeah. I'll have my office call.
Okay, so we'll start with then 10.
Nancy, are you here to represent the city on this?
I think so.
Yeah. Okay.
So Nancy would come up and it's her opportunity to talk.
I don't have anything additional. Other than what I put on each form.
Okay. Well, I guess, Jeff, do you want to kind of give us a rundown of
forms? Because we can just go over.
Yes, I have each one.
Okay, I just went in numerical order, and I started with 10.
Okay.
My copy's
okay. So this one, well, actually, these three all are going to be exempt anyway. And what we can do is we'll give you a copy when we're done with the meeting on this. So for protest number 10, The city of South Sioux called it government use still, and it felt that it should be exempt. After our review, we determined it was exempt, and it's going to be attributed to drainage. and that was parcel 15312. And then number 11 is going to be identical. It is parcel number 70598. And then when we went and reviewed that, we also found that particular parcel to be used as part of some of that. After 11, there were changes and things made, but that's for drainage as well. So we switched the assessor's opinion to exempt on that one. And 12, yep, that's part of the drainage way itself, that parcel. And that is parcel 23247. So all three of those, after the review, got converted back to exempt, and I'll leave these up here for you guys. So we're on to 13. I'm on to Dakota City. We don't want that. So protest 13 is parcel number 23697. And on this one here is probably could be exempt. So it meets all the exempt definition. We just needed a little bit more information on it to put in the file. So next year when 77202211, when the documents come in, we'll already know it was either exempted or not, so we don't have to go through this process again. So that one could be exempt and will be. We just need to verify more information. We went out and looked, but we need more detail on it. And that is it for me. Yeah. So this one here was it's lots 19 through 24. Block 40, Covington, would be 23627. You got that one?
Yeah.
So that one, there's just more information. Other than that, the definition, if we get that, then the definition for exemption is met. So that one there looks like could be plays in drainage need. We need to see, because this is one we weren't sure why it was in the drainage or if it needed to be in the drainage. So I know there was a drainage plan or something, so we just want to make sure that it is part of the South Sioux City Year Guys' drainage plan. The other ones were obvious. This one here was a little trickier.
Okay.
And then for protest number 14, now this one here is... could be for city use. It's in Missouri View. This is that lot in Missouri View, and it looks like there's supposed to be a street that's supposed to eventually go through there.
Right. It's just right away for a street.
To go back into there. That's what we were looking at, but then we saw it was cut off in the bottom. So the street was like a dead end on one end, but it could go back this way. So what we did is we looked, and it was platted at one time as a lot. But now on my overlay, I put it as a street. I just need to verify a plat, or if you guys have a plat on that for me. And then that one there, if we can get that information, we'll update our record, and that one could be moved to exempt as well. But right now, it kind of looks like a lot, kind of looks like a street. We just want to make sure nobody can come back and...
That's developing behind there now.
Oh, is it? So that's what I thought it was probably for. Now, this one here was an alley. I'm not sure how it got put on the list. I did it, but it must have been a late night or something. But an alley's an alley, so that should have stayed exempt.
Is that 15?
Yeah, that is protest number 15, parcel number 19568. Protest 16 was this one here was...
Say by number, I'm sorry.
Vacant lot not being developed. We just needed some more information because you guys had it as, I don't know if it was part of one of the parks. Does that ring? It didn't. I sent the guys out.
Where is this at?
This one here is lots 29 through 32. Part of it's in Halley, I think, if I remember correctly.
1615 First Avenue.
I think we just have it as a green space right now.
So that one there, we'll just check and make sure it's not a lot on a plat somewhere that says it's supposed to be for residential use. And if it does, other than that, it would meet the exemption for the city. So that's one where we'll, you know, more detail would be required. And then protest 17, parcel number 21910. And what this one here is this the one along the, when the avenue got fixed, I think there's a little bit of right of way they got left in front of some of them.
This is right by Taco John's.
Yeah, and of course, so I just moved all them over to exempt. So that protest should be exempt now. And 18, I think, was more of the Dakota Avenue after the road of the street. That work was done. There was another piece. I forget what street. I remember the house it comes out on, but it's just a little, like, parking area, essentially, in front of a house where it comes out. Yeah, right here on...
That might be on... Okay, that's on East 29. Eventually... They left room for a turn lane there.
Oh, is that what it's what it looked like? So, yeah. So we knew our map, GIS didn't have it mapped out quite right, so it looked like it was part of a lot. But it's not. It was actually planted away from that lot. So we're going to call that right away for now. And so 18 would be exempt as well. And then 19... So protest 19 is parcel 178240, and the deputy, Christy went through these next couple. So this one, Christy wrote down right away exempt on this one, so I didn't, so we will call that one exempt. She said, maybe she talked to you on these two, actually, I think.
She might have, I just... Okay.
So that was 19. Protest 19 should go to exempt. And then she also had a note on protest 20 that it got converted into an easement, a utility easement. So that got moved out of vacant lot into easement, so it would be exempt for a city. That is 20. Okay, 21, now this is one where we'll have to sit down with the city and get more. There's like three, the, all along the river, we have a section of land where the city has like a water tower and a few things, and then we have all the soccer fields, and I think there's a rugby field down there now, too.
It's a soccer field they use for rugby.
Oh, they use for rugby. And then as you work your way back into town, you're going to run into a bunch of the baseball fields. Now, all of that is exempt. What we're going to question is, and some of this, they didn't pull that out, so that would have to be split out of it, is just the physical campground itself. Not the green space in front of it or any of that, or the river frontage, just the slips. It'd be more like an income, because they're rented, but they're rented to private parties. So what we need to do is, there's a couple of ways to either prove exemption or not. It has to be like a market rent. So we need to... If I go down to the river, we have some parcels that rent campgrounds. We need to look at what everything's renting for, work with Nancy and the city, and see if we can identify what the rents are and get the costing, and then see if it should be exempt or not. But there's three of those parcels we're going to go over. So right now we're leaving them active as taxable, but we're taking all the rest of it out, all the ball fields, because all that's clearly public use. I mean, anybody can go out there, ride their bike down the trail, those things. of that nature. So this is just one of those three parcels, I think, on it here. Yeah, it's like only three of them, but we got to cut, like this parcel here, we're going to cut all the, it's just one little piece. All of that's exempt. And they didn't make it look like that when they did it. So for 19 and 20, they're both exempt. 21, we need to get more details on. Right now, it could fit the definition. You'd be either taxable or exempt, the way it's currently sitting. Inside Title 350, Chapter 15, there's some regs and some subset of regs that talk about leasing and whether it's a private entity, an exempt entity, and some of the things we have to meet. So we still need to determine that on all three of those. Protest 22, this one here, we look at 25681, and it's the same thing. This is another campground parcel. So this fits with 21 and 22, we both need information. Hopefully they go in order here. Protest 23 is parcel 55513. That's going to be actually part of the end of those drainage lagoons, I think. But it's a couple acres, almost 3 acres, and that should have, when we went out there, that's back where the drainage stuff is. So that one should have been put under drainage, and it is now, so that one would remain exempt. 24, this is the one Christy must have talked to you. Yeah, Christy, in your notes.
Yep.
Okay, so what this one ended up being exempt for deputy, I think, was this? I don't know, was drainage or right away? I don't remember what she said, but she went out and they reviewed that one and switched that one back off of taxable back into exempt status.
You want me to pull up your site? Or are you okay?
Oh, I'm sorry. You're bringing them up because I have pictures. I guess I don't know what I gave you, but yeah. So we're on 25 now, and it's going to be parcel number 55688. And this one should be a sub. I mean, more than likely, it's going to end up being exempt. What it is, that's that thing. The school takes care of it. I think the school uses.
Yes.
But I think you guys own it, but that's the school kind of treats it like theirs. And I don't know, was there an agreement or anything with them that you guys have even think of?
Not. I think we thought we sold that whole piece to the, you know, transfer
oh,
to the school with the indoor pool, the old indoor pool, because that was right beside there. So I don't.
It was, yeah.
Unless it's got a piece of the trail on it. It was hard to tell from the map. Exactly which piece it was
on there. So this one here, we just need to do a little bit more homework on, and we'll have to go back and check the last split when we moved the outdoor pool around and verify whether we've had the right ownership on that one or not. Either way, generally, if you've got two exempt entities working together, like a school and a city, we primarily would keep that exempt anyway. But we just weren't sure on this deal. So we'll look at that one. And that was 25, so that's in needs more info. 26, protest 26 is 24375. Oh, and this is part exempt park frontage. So this kind of gets back into what we were talking about where the campground is. The slips in the campground is one thing, but the along, what do we call that now, Riverview Drive, whatever we call that street there now, but all the green space you see, there's a little park next to the auditorium, all that green space in front of the pool, all of that's just essentially green space for the park. So those, when we looked at it, we just, I know there used to be a duplex that sat on one of them years ago, but we've moved all that stuff over now to just being part of scenic. And that one was 26. 27. Oh, there was this one here. I think it's a mapping issue we got to go back with the city on. It's parcel number 41105. Looks like we were thinking it was a parking lot, but when we followed the legal description and mapped it out, it's a green space, so we weren't, we need to go back and verify. It looks like there might have been something that was exchanged, or maybe the marina takes care of it for the city and then they use it for overflow parking or something like that.
Yeah, it's, I think we took down some old houses on that maybe.
Yeah.
And now, since we it just exchanged, they mow it so they can park there, but really, okay, we're not getting any rent. It's just ground until somebody would want to develop it.
Do something else with it. Okay. All right. That's what we were wondering, because we were looking for it. We're like, I don't think it's paved, but, and I thought there was a house on it at one time. Okay, so that one there, we'll just do, we'll clean that map up and do needs info on 27, which is parcel 41105. 28 is parcel
160309.
We own
the
land.
They have a lease. They
don't
pay. It looks like a dollar lease. It looks just a dollar, you know.
Because they're exempt.
They're exempt too. But we do.
Oh,
okay.
They put it more weight or whatever that organization wanted it. Okay. And all we do is we'll put a copy of that, just like a dollar agreement in the folder, and you don't have to worry about that one anymore. So this one will be a needs info for the ground underneath the Y. That's what I was wondering about, because the Y is exempt too. Oh, this is the law enforcement center, which more likely should be exempt. All we're looking for here is, I found some leases or the agreements, because I know we have a couple between the county and the city. I just want to make sure everything's documented. I got one of them. I don't know which one that is.
That's
our local agreement.
Yeah, the
city and the county.
That's the only one
that we have. Is that your only one?
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's probably an agreement with the state patrol to the space that they use. But
for their space in there, too?
Yeah.
Okay.
They'd be exempt as
So law enforcement under the actual regs would qualify as an exempt piece, and as long as, you know, the agreements are, well, they're just like interlocal agreements, and there's not a huge amount of dollars associated with it, we should be fine. With 29. 197482 are the last six on that parcel number. We went back and forth to this one twice. This is that one from Books.
Yep.
Now, we had it as just storage for the city,
and
nobody's renting anything in there anymore. Back in the day, they rented it, but that was Books, I think.
We had one company that rented it like the first year we owned it, but we haven't had a renter in there forever.
Okay.
It was the gun club guy. They never did build, so.
They never did any? Okay.
And I think we have it right now to sell that, but.
Okay. So that one there, actually, we'll just, 30 should go to exempt. Protest 30 should go to exempt. And that is parcel 36594. This is the old True Jones Tree Farm, I believe. And now that one's going to be hard for development, I believe. Or is it going to be a park?
It's going to be a park.
Okay. So there's some stuff in the regs on that, so we'll have to get with Nancy and get some information on the park part for this one, for protest 31, parcel 55742. 32 is parcel 23506. That's perfect, right? I think. Oh, no, that's part of the park. That's part of scenic park. Actually, I think that's the one the sign sits on.
Exempt.
Yeah, that one is, I'm sorry, so that is a 32 is exempt. (coughs) 23689, which is protest 33, is also the green space for the park. And protest 24200 is part of Scenic Park. And that one got switched back. We scribbled over the top of what it was. Okay. Yeah, that's exempt now as well. And then protest 35, parcel number 172641. Well, is that Brian's school?
Yeah.
So you guys own it, and they just—they okay.
We leased it for a dollar to that nonprofit.
I can't think of what it's called.
New Stage Players.
Yeah, that's what it says on top of the building. Okay, so we'll just get some kind of agreement or something for Nancy to put in the folder on that one. So we'll call that one NEI. 36 is 157855. And that is part of our drainage district out on South Gulf Road or Dixon. That's Gulf Road, I believe. So drainage would fall under exempt, not developed, not signed residential need resolution for a park.
I think I got a one number off of where you were.
Oh, I'm sorry. I should have given
36 yet.
So that the first one that we did for drainage is 157855. Then we have a 172064, which is protest 37. And that is drainage. And then the 38, I skipped one. The protest 38 is 24294. This is the one I was hoping I had the picture in here, because I don't know about it. That's part of the grace. Is that the tennis courts for the football? Let me see, what did you write? Yes, that's exactly what that is. So these are all green space for Scenic Park. 36 through 38 would go to exempt.
Drainage or park?
Yeah.
I have drainage for 36 and 37.
Right, 36 and 37 were drainage, 38 was
Scenic Park. Oh, am I talking? Or maybe. Oh, yes, I apologize. Yeah, you are correct, Joe. Drainage, it's right next to 135312. So that is that one, and this is just south of it. Yeah, these are both drainage and one Scenic Park. 36, 37 are drainage, Scenic Park is park and exempt. 39 through 41. These were all could be exempts that we went out and looked at. And these were all part of, and this one here, like one of them has the walking trail on it, which makes it exempt. So we'll start 39 is exempt.
812.
Yep, 24, 812, and that's part of Scenic Park. 40 is exempt, part of the park and walking trail. And 41, part of the park. It actually has a path going through. That one I think is over by cut off of the sidewalk to get back to the swimming pool. I know the kids take. Yeah, now this one here, this has two deals. So this is the one where all the baseball fields and the scoring box, I guess, announcer, all of that stuff needs to come off as exempt. And then we're going to work with the city on the camp slots, the camper piece of it. So the dollar amount that we see up there is going to change. Once we actually peel off the baseball fields, and we should be able to, if you zoom out a little bit, just put up like a 2018 ought to show it pretty good. Well, maybe 16.
This is 42.
Yeah, so we should be looking at...
That's the office at the...
201.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 201021. I think that's on 201021.
That's where I'm at.
I wonder if we have to go to 16. Because the 18 imagery doesn't let you zoom all the way in. Which is kind of a bummer. But that far end of it's all the baseball fields where the road comes in. You kind of see the straight line. That's a road. And then everything back up along the river is where the campsite is. And everything below it and to the one end is all ball fields. I think there's four.
So when you look at this.
Yeah, this is the canal, and there's camping on both sides of ball fields are in this area.
Right in there, yep. Marty's got it. So we would actually take as well, that is recreational for the city, and those would be exempt, and we'll just separate that chunk of land out, measure it out, and change the number on the form.
At some point, we just put all the scenic park together into a single...
Yeah. What we'd like to do is put all of the, like, keep the campground separate from everything else. Mm-hmm. You know, have the pool and that over here. Yeah. Yep. That would be our goal. And it's all in the same tax district, so there's no problem with doing it. Okay. We just need to talk with the city so they know what we would want to do and make sure we all agree on it. But that is that one, so we'll sit down with Nancy on that for the campground part. And then protest 43 is 26084. And what it is a house I think they leased to a nonprofit. Was it? Oh, it's them? Okay. So we'll work that out with Nancy and the city to see, because that would. If it's leased to another nonprofit, then it would go to exempt. We just knew somebody was in there, and we weren't sure. So that one right now, we're just going to call it NEI, and that was 43. And then 44 is a long, narrow strip that the city got from our Mr. Over King quite some time ago. When was that? 2007, I don't remember. It sits right behind Julia Court. So I don't know if that's going to be built into the HCI development, or was that something they were supposed to take when they did Julia Court? Because it's really weird that it sits there. Like, I think I might have a picture.
I think they were leaving that building.
So that one we weren't. See, here it is. There's Julia Court. This is Dean's stuff, but it was weird that it stayed there. I mean, I'm sure 31st eventually is going to continue on, probably. So technically it could be called, you know, that part of it could be road right away. We're not sure what to call. This is the walking trail.
Yeah.
So it's got a walking trail on one end, and the 31st Street terminates on this end, and then they just throw bales on it here. But when we looked at it, we weren't sure if the whole thing was purchased for Julia Circle or not. So, yeah, so that one, just need more info on that one as well, and that's 44.
Is that to the east of the homes on Julia Court?
Yeah, but sure is right behind. Yeah, there's that section between, because they farm everything else after.
You got the school grounds, and then you got a cul-de-sac that goes in, and you got a house on both sides to the right of the out of the field there?
Yeah, to the riverside.
Towards on the riverside.
If I'm not mistaken, I think there's a large storm sewer in there, like an 80-some-inch pipe.
Oh, they could have. That could have been.
Well, we put one in there, and I think it was back there in the field.
Oh, yeah, that's the picture of it right there. There you go.
See, we wouldn't have, we shouldn't have, well, we wouldn't have went up that street, I wouldn't have thought, the cul-de-sac.
That might be drainage.
We'll have to verify. Because it's weird it left it in that shape. We weren't sure if it was. Yeah, you're right. You wouldn't run that through the cul-de-sac, I doubt.
I wouldn't think. And then you wouldn't have run that thing. We couldn't have extended into that lot there.
No.
Because of the house there.
Yeah, but that's what.
It would be a street like or alley or something.
So that may end up being drainage. So we'll go check our plats and see if we can't figure out what's actually in that. It was just weird that it ended up being that shape. It's like almost an acre. It's like 0.8, 0.9 of an acre. But then you can see then the field, Over King's Field, starts and goes the rest of the way. I think they mow it, actually. If you look at some newer pictures, it's grass back there. So he does, Over King doesn't own it anymore. And that is those three. So that would be, that was protest 44. We're getting there. Isn't this drainage? This is the Smiley and George. Yeah, it's over here. 29th Willow Street, this whole thing, is that the canal that runs through here? You guys have a couple of drainage pieces. Right?
Yeah, I think so.
That's the high point over there. So this is drainage along, I don't want to call that street Willow Street, or what do we call that thing?
Behind Willow Street.
It's right here, Jeff.
Right there.
Yeah, and it runs, if you click on it, there's a couple, and if you go right back towards the street, and then that whole piece on the outside is the actual concrete that the water runs through, and then they've got some stuff buried in like two other parcels. That's one of them, and I think there's one more up. So what we did is we went through like those. We didn't know if they were parcels or not, so we knew where the drainage was at the time until we went out and looked at it again and found the culvert, the old concrete pipes and stuff that were laid up in there. And so those, so that would be 47 or 45, I'm sorry, would, no, that one there is 45, right, is it exempt for drainage. And I think 46 is the same place.
Yeah,
and that one we're going to call drainage. So both 45 and 46 are exempt. And now 47, we believe, could end up being exempt, but we still haven't platted as a lot. I know the city went in and tore out the old food pantry.
We're selling that lot.
You are going to sell it? Okay.
We weren't using it for any purpose.
Okay. So it is going to go on the market on that one then?
Yeah. There's a ordinance on tonight
to get rid of that guy? Okay. So then that would, just by selling it, then putting it on the market thing for them would make that exempt. If they pass their ordinance, we're good. We just will put a copy of the ordinance in their file, and then we'll know. We'll always have it as that.
Oh, it won't be exempt after they buy it.
Yeah, whoever buys it, it will go back on the rolls. And then protest 48... is parcel 159319 HBU, highest and best use record. No, no, no. What are we looking at here? Is that the, this is down along 17th Street? Is that where we put the campers when they were staying over here working on CF?
I'm at.
No.
No, I think we had to divide some land for mitigation for a 17.
Yeah, here's 17.
Yeah, I don't
know
exactly where they put the orchard in.
It's over here somewhere. There's an orchard now.
Yeah, see, that's a community orchard there.
Okay.
Green space kind of place.
All right, we knew the trees were in. We weren't sure if it was a park or not.
It's open for public.
So the orchard is public. Okay, so that one would be exempt.
There's a fence on it to keep the deer out.
Oh, yeah, well, good luck with that. Them things are all over down there. Okay, so we're good there. So let's go look at protest 49, which is parcel 157979. This is, we've done what we can on this one, so I don't know where to go next. And we worked with the city or the state a little bit on this. So this is the new solar farm that's out there. So what we've done is, the land and the entry road and the two buildings and the fence we have as taxable. All the panels are not on all the, well, the solar farm, the brains of the solar farm are in those two buildings for distribution. So, and we didn't know if it was leased or what was all going. We knew it was put in to help with power, obviously. But so what we did is, it's probably about a $4 million project. And by the time you take the panels off and all the brains in those rooms, you know, we're sitting at about $350 of taxable value on it. But we did exempt the other stuff. So I'm not sure. I'm going to have to talk with Nancy and the city on it. If I know they had to hire, was, where'd they come from? Arizona to build it? I mean, we don't have a lot of people that do that around here, and we're not, everybody has solar farms either. And I had one other lady, I think from Sherman County, called me about one, and she wasn't sure what to do, and I think they're doing the same thing I'm doing, just based on statute and what the city or the state says we can tax and what we can't. So the panels are kind of off limits. They'll call. I can call a cement slab and the steel beam it sits on as real property, or the dirt in the physical building, but not the components in the building. Because then you cross into public power, and it gets real confusing on that. And I don't know which public power entity it even connects to, or how we have it connected. Do you know offhand who's?
Not right off the top of my head.
So that was one, you know, it's a bit of a confusing deal. We have it as needs more information right now, you know, so it's questionable. Like I said, what we did do up to this point, just based on the public use and purpose for power, is get as much out of there as we could valuation-wise that doesn't actually affect or should be exempt. So we'll work on that one. We need a little bit more information there. And then that next one is, isn't that road? The little cutback back at the end of Ross Industrial. Yeah, that was this one. Parcel 158932, protest 50. And we did move. Where's your number?
158932.
Yep, you got it.
It's that one's out of order.
Okay, so that guy there, that's that one on the end of Steppens.
Yeah, that's just
the cutback road. Yeah, but it went back. It's on the end of Roth out there. So we moved that one to exempt. It doesn't have any other use than to be a right of way for access and a road. My gosh, we're on the last two. There were 150, so we got cut down to 50, I think, to 40 some, so that's not bad. So this is going to be protest 51, parcel 35 lot 75. And it is, looks like this one's going to be more utility easements and some more right of way. Yeah, that's a little tiny piece off of 3rd Avenue. It's just a utility easement chunk. And 52, oh, that's the old compactor site. And I know the city stores some stuff out there. It's kind of all blended together. When you're out there and you're looking around, you don't know really where the city stops, and I think it's Todd's stuff starts. Well, there it is. Back in there. So from a city use for public purposes, it would qualify on that, as long as it's not leased or to another entity or anything. That's where they sit? Okay.
That's where they use it.
Okay. That's what we're, I mean, the equipment stuff was all out there. If we were on the right one. We wander around until we hear gunshots. So that is 52, and if they don't have a lease or anything on that, then that's city use. And that, if that's the groundskeeper buildings and that was their equipment, that's exempt. The old compactor site there. And that is it for South Sioux. So we got some we need more info on, but we were able to go out and find quite a few we could get our answers for. And get them exempt. You're good. So the official, I think, Joan, do I have the original protest? Or do you still have those?
I didn't bring them with me. Sheree must have them yet.
Oh, God. Here's all of that's all the rest of South Sioux. So I've got my, so like, to be scanned in or whatever to the valuation drive. The assessment office notes, oops, I'm sorry, on the second side. So it'd be the city's protest and then everything we put together for them is on the second side in there. And these folders. And I didn't know if you had to sign those or if we had some originals someplace we had to sign for that.
So you'll have what you need to have worked out with the city.
Yeah,
by
I'll have to hook up with Nancy because we're going to run out of time.
Yeah, we've got till May 1st.
And even if we, well, I don't know how that works, because we're not done in the process, they can still protest, which buys us a bunch more time. If we needed it.
Okay.
So, but yeah, I'll get together with Nancy, probably give her a call tomorrow. And I don't think we had a whole bunch of anything. We'll just go through the stack.
15.
Yeah.
Do you have what we're
going to
do?
So it shouldn't take us very long. It'd be nice if I could get it done now before May 1st. Is that the date?
Do we know what we're doing, exempt or not exempt or partial exempt, or can they make a motion or not?
Right now, the all the exempts are done and verified. So the board can eliminate all those and do a motion. We heard them all individually, I think. So
yes.
So can we make a motion on just exempt?
Which ones are we pulling out? Do you know?
Okay.
I should.
What I've got that you need more info on.
Yeah, those
are
we want.
Protest 21, 22.
Hold on.
About 13, 14, 16.
Yeah.
13, 14, 16.
I had more information. Verify information on 13.
Yes. Yeah, 13.
And we're going to check a plat on 14. Did you?
Yes, there.
Yeah.
And 16 needed a plat.
16, check 21, 22, 25, 26, 27.
What'd you have on 26? I had exempt 27. I have a question mark.
26 is a campground. Need more detail. 27 is.
I thought they had 26 with part frontage. They bring it back.
I had it exempt.
Okay, so you that could be right.
Yeah, exempt.
Okay, 13, 14, 16, 21.
22, need more info. And then 27, what do you guys have on 27? Looks like a parking lot. Need to clean up the map. Mapping.
What did we say about
the for developers?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I agree.
So it was okay? It's okay.
I had that he was something he needed to clean up the map.
Okay.
And that's just a simple piece of paper that we're just differing this one. Yep.
28 exempt because it's either city or Y.
Does he need an agreement for the new Bryant, the Bryant School, 35, or are we okay with that, or did he have it?
He doesn't have it. He needs to meet up. 28. 31. 35.
Yep.
Oh, all those ones. Okay, yeah. Okay. So that one.
42, 43, 44.
You have six people.
I think we all
hear
a little
bit
different.
I know.
All have different answers. Okay. You guys have your stuff straight?
I think so.
Okay, what numbers do you have?
13, 14, 16.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll be in the 40s. 20. You want
them
in order, or can we?
That'd be good.
Yeah. It'd be easier.
Okay, so then
21, I think, is the next one.
Yeah,
21.
Okay.
21 and 22.
Okay. Mm-hmm. 25, 26, 27, 28, 31, 35, 42, 43, 44, and 49. Does that sound
like what you guys
got? That's
right. It is not.
Okay.
Okay.
So.
We're
going
to have to.
For the more info on it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jeff, do we need to set a meeting date then before the 1st to work on the ones that are. We'll get more information.
It'd be nice to have one just to get everything finished out.
Okay, then I need a motion to accept the exempt protests today. You make that motion?
I would make that motion.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion by Marty, a second by Larry.
Okay, I want to flush that out just a little bit more.
Oh.
To approve the protest.
Should we hold off on
as
that?
Exempt? As exempt, accepting partial protest numbers, or I can do parcel number,
13.
And then list these
yep.
out that we just did, 13, 14, 16, 21, 22, 25, 26, 27, 28, 31, 35, 42, 43, 44, 49.
Okay. Since under A also covers Dakota City, do we want to wait for that motion until after we go through Dakota City, or can we do two motions?
Let's just do two.
Okay.
Yeah.
Marty.
Yep.
Kevin.
Yes.
Larry.
Yes.
Janet.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right.
We're good.
Well, thank you, Nancy.
Yeah.
Thank you, Nancy.
Tomorrow, then we'll see what we can.
Okay. South Sioux's done. Yeah. We'll move on to Dakota City.
We have nine for Dakota City is all.
Is all.
We don't have permissive on today's agenda, do we?
We have what now?
Permissive exemptions are not off the agenda, are they?
I think so. I didn't close that out.
Let me see.
Dang you, John.
John's moved on to MSN News.
Okay. Here are the nine. All right, so for protest one,
nothing matches. I just don't have sled by type.
Is parcel number 273963. And it is going to be the new wastewater treatment plant, I believe. No? Yeah. Is that what that is? Yes, it looks like it.
Yeah,
the
RV facility.
Yeah, we found that in our 2018 imagery, so when we did that one, we switched that one back to exempt. And then we go to number two. Protest two was parcel number 9945.
Old City Hall.
Is that just a parking area now?
Yeah.
It's back.
Right next to the old fire hall.
Is that the post office?
No.
Should be to the north of the post office.
This is like a parking lot here, but this is for the old city hall.
Oh, that was the old. I gotcha.
You guys probably use it more often in the city than
we. I wouldn't doubt it. I think we all park over there. Not all, I don't, but I mean, I think we do park in that area. So on that one, we weren't sure what the public use was on it, but if it's where it's at, it is just basically a public. People park there. I know they park there on busy court days, and sometimes after lunch it gets busy in the parking lot, and people sit over there and they'll park their cars around the corner there. And we actually sprayed that, I think, last year, too. But, so that one, we would change that one to an exempt. We don't need any more information on that one. This one, so, oh, so this is one, we got a couple here that would meet exemption. The only thing we need is, I think at one time it was a lease that's done now. So now it's just in the city's name. Does that sound right?
Based on the towers.
So this one here, are the needs info on that is just like either the old canceled lease into the city's name or something we can put in the file that says there's nothing else going on with the parcel anymore. It's just the city's. And that would take care of it for us and make that one exempt. And that would be protest 3, parcel 13810.
What's the big building?
And that picture
is the building
we
used to sit down by where the fire hall is.
It's not there anymore?
It is. It's on the other side of the baseball field. You used to sit over the...
Yeah, if you keep going up the road, I think you hit the baseball.
You used to sit where the fire hall is, the new fire hall, and then you moved it across the street there.
And that building's the one above it, isn't it now?
So it's empty?
That's not.
That might be the one that got moved.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, they moved it.
It's no longer there.
We need to delete that picture and put it on a...
Whose is it, the building?
Oh, last I heard it was the guy that had the liquor store, but I don't know who owns it now.
Yeah, Valerio's.
It still is? Okay.
But it's not on there.
That's not one that we're looking at.
No, we're looking at the one
that's south of it. Yeah, we used to have our cell tower. It's a tower there for iHeartMedia.
Okay, here's the cell tower.
And I think they don't do anything out of that building anymore either, so there's no leases or anything left on that. Okay, so 4, 5, and 6 then. Valerio should be private. So this one is for lots 1 through 12, 234. Oh, this is just keeping going down the road. And this is the same thing, needs info, just so I can clean all of that up. And that is Valerio's. Now, that's that red building, right? So 4 would be needs information, and it's something we can call and go over with Alyssa. Vacant lot. Now we got one that was, is this the one for the church, the cemetery? So we have another one here that we were still researching, because a cemetery is an exempt entity, a city is an exempt, or a village or whatever is an exempt entity. What they got in between it though is if a city purchases or holds land, it can only stay vacant for so long to be developed. I mean, what they want to see is either the city passes an ordinance that says this is going to be a park or this is going to be the cemetery, and then that'll get by for a while, then they need to see construction or use. So ours, we're kind of in between on this one, but more than likely it's just more info based on understanding that and what the terms are, and we can work with Alyssa on that for this one. Because again, as soon as it's a cemetery, it would go back as, well, the city owns a cemetery, it would go back as exempt. And that, really, that's the highest and best use for that parcel too, because the cemetery really doesn't have any other direction to go, I think, at this point. You're trapped. Other than that, we got to get into the field. But that is protest 5, parcel 7608, and then there is 13667, protest 6. And these are need info. There's 2 of these, I think, is all. This is down by the old tree dump and the old... this is another plat issue. I think it was just these 2, or is it those 3? 3 of them, and I think they put all 3. So So this is just, again, we need more info because it's, we got it as a platted lot. So if you go, actually, it's all three of those, I think is what it's going to end up being. This one here is lot four.
Here's 5-6. Yep.
Okay, so this is not that one, that's Valerio. Oh, right there. So there we go. So Valerio's isn't exempt. That's not yours to worry about anymore. That part, yes. Okay. So for protest, that top one is protest. Wow, there's three lots there. I believe that one is 6, parcel number 13667. And then lot number 5 is parcel 13756. And that's protest 7. And then there's a 13837, which is protest 8. And that should be one of those three.
That's these right here.
Yeah, all three of those. So that's 6, 7, and 8. And they all three, since we have them as a platted, as a residential lot now, we just need to clean up some information to figure out what the city's intent or any of that is with those. I don't think it's going to work for a residential lot across from the old water treatment plant and things of, and there's nobody's bought the back lots either. I see there's three more, but I don't know if those are privately held. Forget it now. But so that's 6, 7, and 8, and all those are neat information. And that's map work. And then 9 is, I think I'm not sure it's that one right next to it. Here's the fire station. That's the old, yeah.
Here's the fire station?
Yep.
This one,
okay. Yep. Wherever he is, he's over here someplace. Okay, I gotcha. And that's the same one, too. They have a lot there that we'll have to figure out. We need to understand what the intent is on that lot for future developments and stuff to make sure we have it could be a lot of different things because the fire station's right across from it. I mean, it could just be overflow parking for the fire station, too, but we'll work with Alyssa on that one. So one, I believe, we said is exempt, protest 1, correct?
Uh-huh. Yes.
And didn't we do protest?
And 2.
2 is exempt.
And then 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Are all these info. And it's all basically sitting down figuring out what future development actually is on them. Well, the cemetery, we know, but we've got a couple small hurdles we got to get over in the regs. And then once we do that, we should be good. She's got paper on it, and we put it in the folder, and then we can bring these back to another meeting, too.
Okay.
It's a lot quicker than the other 50.
Are we going to have to have a special meeting?
Yes.
Before May 1st.
Yeah,
so it'll be next Monday or Tuesday. Gotta be.
How much time do you need to take care of that business?
I'm gonna meet with Nancy tomorrow, so probably 2 days with Nancy. It just won't take very long. I can walk down to City Hall with Alyssa. That'll just be another little bit of time to sit down and talk with her, see what I can do.
We schedule a wellness committee meeting.
So I can be done. I'll be done this week.
I think we did.
With all the needs and calls, I'll get you guys
and we can make it
exempt
morning,
or taxable.
It'd be nice.
And then that way they have morning. You guys have time and they can
the
protest it.
Keep
what you need. But
wellness committee meeting.
Okay.
Are you better late in the afternoon or?
I get off work at 6 in the morning. So.
So you want to do this 8?
I would like to see it done at 6:05 in the morning.
We can make that work. Can we do it at 4? Yeah. 4 in the afternoon on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
For this, I need a motion to accept protests number 1 and 2 as exempt.
Yep.
Okay, got a motion from Janet. And then a second from Larry.
Kevin.
Yes.
Larry.
Yes.
Janet.
Yes.
Marty.
Yep.
Okay. We'll move on to B, and Jeff requesting board approval for the tax list corrections for parcel 273761. It's South Ridge Vision.
South Ridge Vision. South Ridge.
It's probably that strip mall there on 29th.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Okay, so we don't need any of this. Did Christy give everybody their copies of this?
They all have it.
So what this one is, this goes back to, I want to say it's 17. Did she put a year on here? 18, it looks like. So what this was an initial, we had Bart Gotch in here, and then we had Fett Tharp and then Dr.
Kincaid.
And it was that initial role originally did not have those three buildings classed the same.
Mm.
So what the board decided to do with it is have us go back, pick them up, and reclass everything, which we did, and we changed the value. And it actually ended up Dr. Kincaid's stuff was in the wrong tax district as well. So we went through and we fixed the whole file for them, and we agreed on a value with, I think Bart got it, the same thing as what Dr. Kincaid did. So they all rolled good until 18. For some reason in 18, the other two buildings rolled just fine, but Dr. Kincaid's didn't. It's like it was stuck, so we had to run a corrective procedure within there. It's like a caching problem, memory problem, where things just get stuck, I guess. So we have to go through the vendor, and they can get in there and work their magic. So we did that. So what we had to do is reset his back to the 477 35 from the 491. The 491 210 is what it was before. So that got actually fixed, I want to say in 17 or 18 for sure, to 417 it to 477 out 35. This just corrects 18 because it didn't roll in 18. 19 already has him at 477 out 35. So it's just to fix 18's system error.
Okay.
On that one. And at the bottom there, you'll see it's $286 worth of tax. And I think when she does that, that must be just for the county.
Mm.
She's just using the county levy here.
Okay. Then I will make a motion to accept tax list correction for parcel 273761. I need a second.
I'd second that.
Marty.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Kevin?
Yes. Okay. Jeff, you're still up. Requesting the board to approve, appoint, and set compensation for the use of certified appraisers as referees for property valuation protests.
Yeah, we just touched on it a little bit in our last meeting, and the conversation kind of got really broad, and a lot of their good opinions and things were brought up during that process. So what I would recommend from the assessor's office is from a local company, a little better rate. I know that we could use their, well, they're local. They're in Sioux City, but it's still local, Innovative Appraisal. We've contracted with them or had an agreement with them before to help us on some other things. Very good. They're very good for us to work with. So I would recommend them guys for both ag and residential just to help out. I don't expect very many ag. Like I said, we're the year between a 7 or 9% reduction in value there. But residential, we were thinking was going to be a much lower number that we could manage, but we're hearing values haven't even gone out yet, and we already have been, our phones kind of ringing pretty constant with people who want to protest. So I have no idea how many people are going to end up protesting. We could end up with 500 again. I don't, we really don't know at this point. And that just becomes a lot of tedious work and a lot of time. I have to put my time in, I have to write my recommendation, pull all the comps for you guys. So I'm not sure time-wise if we have enough time for the board. Now, I know that's something you guys have to process, and I know that some of our taxpayers have requested that, but since I've been here, which isn't very long, that's 2011, we've had referees every year. My deputy assessor's been here 20 years, 21 years. She can't remember a year without referees. So, I mean, it's not like we're doing anything uncommon. If you look across all 93 counties, unless you're talking about a pretty small county with a lot less than 10,000 parcels, they all pretty much have referees. Actually, the big counties, they rent buildings and bring referees in from everywhere there and actually have different locations. But so that would be my recommendation because that's busy. Now, if we want to try to do something as a board, maybe, you know, commercial is the trickiest of it all to actually understand. Generally, we don't have comps, so we have to comp the whole Metroplex. And it's tougher, but we never get a whole bunch of them. So, you know, I may be able to help you a little bit more with those as far as your comps and things if you wanted to try it. Because I'm not having, I've got, well, the people who do the maintenance for us now will do it. We've already tried to use them. I reached out and I've had two responses. Both of them just want to meet and talk about it, but none of them are local. The one local outfit I tried was at Tri-Value. I just went through their website and sent them an email on their website to say, hey, we're looking, this is what I'm looking for, and nothing has come back on that, so I'm going to have to call them. And there was one more I found over in Sioux City, and I I did call, and they weren't comfortable with commercial work and actually doing that, so they, you know, they could maybe help us with some of the other stuff if we needed it. But I don't think we're going to need too much help if you do it in a logical approach.
Mm-hmm.
So my recommendation is innovative for residential and ag, so you don't have to worry about that until July, and either using a TVI, a standard appraisal, a another group. I just lost them off the top of my head, sorry. But there's another group out there that specializes, and that was one of the keys too. I try to find appraisers that also know mass appraisal, because we value not based on a fee appraisal system, we value on a mass appraisal system. And they are different.
Mm-hmm.
So you want somebody that's done that. And that's the good thing about innovating. Before they came to this area, Sam was one of the appraisers for Douglas County. So he had a whole team and a whole section of Douglas County that specialized just in... So he understands mass appraisal really well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all he does now is fee appraisal work. But
mm-hmm.
So that's why I would recommend them.
Yep. Very good.
So that's what I'm saying. And then the commercial, I can get you a name. I don't know. TVI's out there. I don't know if I like the rate. I think we can do better.
Okay.
But I think if we do anything like that, we write our own agreement and set the terms to them. They can either say yes or no.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And force mm-hmm. that down a little bit. Otherwise, I can get a couple, like I know there's a couple other names I can give you too, if you'd be interested in that.
And
the ones I know, like Tri-State over in Sioux City, Shannon, they have a couple really, really good appraisers over there. I really wanted to talk to them. I just haven't been able to get in touch with them.
Mm-hmm. So
they know their stuff, and they know this market commercially. So they would be nice gets if
okay.
they could find a way to...
Can we make a motion? Can we make a motion on the ag and residential at this time, and then we'll go forward
sure.
and see if we can come up with in the commercial end of it?
That would work. I mean, yeah. as long as we get something. Yeah, we got something on the books. Because, Joan, you guys got a... I don't know. I want to make sure we get everything done so we don't catch you at the last minute having to...
It's innovative. That needs to set the block aside.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then we can write our agreement to give to them, or if you want, I can tell them to write an agreement for us to look at.
Okay.
Whatever you guys are comfortable with.
How would you rather do it, Joan?
They can write it, and we can approve it or not.
Okay. Yeah, have them write a proposal.
Have them write a proposal. Okay. All righty.
So all right,
make
so
a, make a motion.
Yeah, I'll need a motion. I'll need a motion for ag and residential referees to go through innovative appraisal and for them to write a proposal and for us to approve or deny that.
So we'll basically get a figure so we know
mm-hmm. what the costs are.
Whether we're going to, whether it's
yep.
feasible or
not. Yeah. I'd second that.
Janet?
So this is just for the to get a proposal.
To get a proposal.
So we have some data to look at. Okay. Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes. Hey, Jeff, how about how long do you think it'll take for you to get a hold of them and then get something written up?
I get them started today, yeah, probably. When I get back, I'll call a couple of them and
is that something
start
to put
getting
on
some stuff coming this way for you to
special?
Look at.
If it's done, it's done.
Do you think they can get it done by Monday or Tuesday? We're going to be
yeah,
meeting
I
again.
Yeah, I can see if I can. I'll try,
if,
yeah.
If
they
not,
can't, I mean, I'll tell them we need it by then. Or
yeah.
Yeah, that's not a problem.
Yeah, if they can, they can. If not, 2 weeks.
Okay.
Be preferable. Just to get stuff moving.
Oh, that's true. For a meeting schedule. Okay. Yeah, I'll push for the quick response, quick turnaround time.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. We will move on to any mail or emergency business. Which
I don't
believe we have any. So we will move on to if there's any public comment for the Board of Equalization. Don't see any public comment. So we will adjourn, and it is 2:23.
All right, we'll go ahead and start our commissioner meeting at this time. Current copy of the Open Meeting Act is posted at the west wall near the entrance to the county boardroom and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. Joan, go ahead and take roll call.
Marty?
Yep.
Tony is absent. Kevin?
Here.
Larry?
Here.
Janet?
Here.
I'd make a motion to excuse Tony from our meeting today.
I'll second that.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
Yes. All right, we'll go ahead and start our meeting with public comment. If anybody has any public comment with regard to anything that's not on our agenda today, go ahead and step up, state your name, and I have 3 minutes to talk about anything you need to talk about.
My name is Bob Lane.
Hey, Bob.
I want to see if we could get public access to Crystal Lake. Well, the old ramp is there. It goes within 5 feet of the water. It's just getting around the rodeo ground down to it. A couple loads of rock. No picnic tables, no nothing, just a little. Just so you dump a boat in there. I've checked the neighbors across the river. Nobody has access where you could back down.
Mm-hmm.
So we got two lakes, Gateway and Crystal, and can't use either one.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have Cramper Lake.
Yeah, you go clear out to Hubbard. Yeah, I got to spend a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
This wouldn't cost hardly anything.
Do we still have control of that rodeo ground?
It's school ground.
School ground, yeah, that's right, too. But didn't we have control of it?
We don't own it.
It's leased out, is my understanding.
The folks that is raised, did they lease that property, or?
Tony had a 6-year lease on it, but then he sold his interest there to this guy in Omaha.
Yeah.
But he leases it from the public schools. I mean, it's not county.
See, from the rodeo fence up by the corral to the water, that's just all grass grown up. I mean, a guy could drive. There's a gate there.
Click on it and have.
You get through the gate, you can drive right down to the ramp, but there's a fence just before the ramp. I mean,
what I'm thinking is if they got that leased, we don't get.
Who leases it?
Well, Tony, no matter what, for the rodeo ground, but then he sold out his interest there, which was the fencing and the stuff like that, you know.
He could sell lease land?
Well, no, not the land.
Is that it?
The bleachers and the fences and the corrals and stuff where they had the bulls and the cows.
It would be this piece here, wouldn't it?
And then that guy bought that back.
Go ahead and click.
Removable items.
Try that
one. Uh-huh.
And left them in place. The way I understand it now.
Sure.
That has Tony way to read it and how long the term of this was.
Didn't you dredge all that?
No, that was.
Oh, off 157.
No,
there.
Yeah,
because they spent a lot of money, right?
Okay, yeah, that's at the back end of the lake bed.
And then?
Yeah, that's off above.
You can't use it.
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying. I think it's possible, probably.
Nebraska Department of Education.
Who's got control of the land?
There's the address of the people that own it. That piece of property is owned by the Nebraska Board of Education Lands and Funds.
Yeah.
And you'd have to contact them to see who it is leased by at this time.
The Education Department leased it to somebody else?
Yeah. There's all kinds of school ground in different counties. There's a lot of agricultural ground down around Homer where farmers bid on it for the right to farm it for 3 to 6 year blocks. Yeah, there's some out by Covington Links that's called school ground.
But they can let you go in there and I don't know, a couple over rocks and stuff so we can get in the water?
If they'd let you. You know, that's a conversation you'd have to have with them.
Well, let's find out who that is.
Well, it's right here. It's the Nebraska Board of Education Lands and Funds would be the people to contact.
Out of Lincoln?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because every county has school ground.
Okay, then you need the number of the parcel, what it is.
It's right there. 22069.
You know Tony Gomez?
No, I don't.
Right there. You know Gomez?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh.
Because she got hurt this past weekend, but he would be able to give you that information.
And probably
22069.
Well,
he's still
alive.
2200.
Maybe he don't let no company or nothing.
No,
I don't think. How long did he lease it for? He hasn't had a rodeo. Tony hasn't had a rodeo for years.
Well, originally it was a 6-year lease.
I know, and that's
only had
it's probably been a couple of years. And
five.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that other guy had one or two a year, and Tony was having them about.
No phone number.
He was having them on all the holidays, Memorial Day, 4th of July, Labor Day. Yeah, he had several.
Yeah, and then I told Tony that. I said, So I made some smart remark to him. He said, I got you that lot of money. As far as having them, I said, well, I guess that's what it was. He only had one deal, one rodeo, or one or two or something. I told Tony, it's easier than that guy's. He ain't going to make it that way.
Then who owns Gateway?
I don't know.
Is that privately owned?
It used to be owned by Mrs.
Gateway Lake.
They used to own the drugstore at her South Sioux.
Toff?
Dudley's.
Who?
Dudley's Drug.
Yeah, what? Dudley.
Yeah. But she's, I'm sure, passed away by now.
Yeah, there's no access to it either.
No, but now I think that, do you know Ralph?
Rich, is he this number here?
Yeah, yeah. Rich.
Ask Rich, because he, had, I think, at one time owned that. What's that ground from Dudley's? But who owns it today, I don't know.
Yeah, well, there's no way to get a rope down to it. But
yeah, Richard and Barbara Steffen own a good portion of it around it there.
This is the one out here.
That's Gateway.
Yeah, this is the old Crystal Lake.
Yeah.
And that's the parcel number.
Uh-huh.
That's 69972.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's the number you need to call for the Board of
Education. I'll check. By the way, Kevin Rogers said he'd dump some rock in there if he could get access.
To Gateway?
No. To like you want. You know, where there's a concrete slab there.
Yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I remember that as a kid.
Yeah,
it was down there all the time, yeah.
Just shed all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Still well.
Probably the last time was 12, 15 years ago.
Yeah,
water level's pretty high right now, too.
Yeah, I'll do some checks here.
Yeah, you bet. Thank you.
Stephen's on that other parcel.
Anybody else for public comment? All right, we'll go to consent agenda items. We need to approve the previous minutes from April 8th, 2019. I also went through the accounts payable. Larry came in and we went through the accounts payable. Everything appears to be in order. And we need to approve the official reports from the Register of Deeds, the Clerk of District Court, Veterans Quarterly Report, and the Sheriff's quarterly Report. I looked through those. Everything appeared to be in order. So anybody make a motion to...
And
then also in the renewal of the interlocal agreement between Dakota County, Dixon County, for the use of the Dakota County Veterans Service Officer 2 days a month. Dixon County uses our service officer a couple of days a month. He goes up there and helps the veterans in Dixon County, so we just need to re-up that agreement.
It's been an ongoing thing.
Yeah, been an ongoing thing for years.
I'll make a motion.
I'll second that.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
Yeah.
Kevin?
Yes.
All right, new business. Board to approve payroll claims from the period April 7th to April 20th. We did go through the payroll claims. Everything appeared to be in order. So this time we need to make a motion to approve those payroll claims.
I'll make a motion.
I'll second it.
Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Kevin?
I will abstain.
Larry?
Yes.
All right. Next, we have Don and Sherry Pringer to discuss the update board regarding the water problems around Dakota Flats out there.
Well, yesterday we had about 3 pages of this, but my wife used to work for a lawyer, so it got condensed down to 1 page today, so you're lucky. We're here about the water problems we're having at Dakota Flats with Tom Bosquet running water onto my property in my pond, which has been commonly referred to as Pringer's Pond for the last 22 years. It now belongs to Mark Lennon. He's here today also. We have photos showing that Tom had made numerous attempts to drain the field into our property. He even had a conversation with one of the landowners about digging a trench on his property to drain it. And when asked where he was going to drain it, he said into Pringer's Pond. which is not right. These attempts to included digging out of dirt onto private property, which he did not own. We keep trying to put the dirt back, and he would dig it out on me several times. And finally, we got it stopped to where we're not getting his water at the present time off of his actual land. But then he called the state, and he asked the state to dig out a culvert in the front. That culvert in the front is up by Highway 20, and that allowed the dirt to, or the water to come around the front, drain into my ditch, and then around and into my pond eventually. It's just a longer way of getting the water there. But that was his intent, was to drain it onto my property or into my pond. When, in 1996, when I started Dakota Flats, the commissioners were concerned that there was going to be 18 houses there, all with driveways, and the street itself. And they said there was going to be excess water that needed to be handled, and that I could not run water onto anyone else. So they told me I had to put in a retention pond to handle all the water off of Dakota Flats, which we did. We hired an engineer to tell us how big it had to be, how deep it had to be, and where it had to be from the lowest spot on Dakota Flats property. We did it to the T, and it's worked for 22 years perfectly until this year when Bosquet opened up the berm between his land and mine and flooded it. Now, there's five houses that got flooded down there, all of which taxes were probably $5,000 to $6,000 apiece, and that's just on the five that are down there. There's 12 more up the street. But those five, taxes-wise, bring in more money than that 80 acres of bare farmland that hardly ever gets a crop. I just believe that county has got to step in and do something. We put this pond in at our own expense, and we're asking that the county demand that Bosquet put in a pond or some type of retention that he does not run water onto me again. And it shouldn't be done by, or shouldn't be paid for by anybody but Bosquet. I don't think it should be charged to Dakota County's taxpayers. And I've got photos here I'd like to show you. I can pass them around and let you take a look at them. And some of them are very explainable. They show water that was coming in at 7:30 in the morning. And then you can see at 9 o'clock, so the erosion has taken place to the point where it went from approximately 3 foot wide to maybe 17, 18 feet wide, just from the natural erosion, from all the water coming off of his field, his 80 acres, and draining into my pond. And I've got pictures here that'll show, and I'll let you pass them around, take a look at them. Starts here at 7:30 in the morning. It's only about 3 foot wide. You can see the whole field's full of water.
Yeah.
Very little dirt showing out there. And it's down about 3 foot in the drainage ditch on Dakota Flats. So you can see there's an elevation difference. You look at picture two. You can already start to see dirt and so on that same picture, but you look at the canal on my side, the drainage ditch, it's up 3 foot, and look at how all the water is rushing across there. After we had it filled in once on Friday night later, somebody come in with a rubber-tired piece of equipment, dug it all out, just left a little bit there to erode away. And this picture here shows, this is halfway through the section line. These fence posts show where the fence line is. That's the property line between the two pieces of property. He dug across there about 3 feet, dug it all out to where he just left maybe 6 inches of grass and dirt there, hoping the water would get high and erode across. Besides that, it's trespassing right there. Not even taking into consideration what he was trying to flood me with. And this last picture shows, this is right standing on the entrance into Dakota Flats. Here's Highway 20 over here to the left, looking east. He drove his four-wheeler out in there to make ruts in the ground so that it would drain the field back here into the ditch, which then drained it onto my place. He called the state and said that the culvert was plugged at Highway 20. It has been plugged for probably 18 years. Nobody has ever said a word about it. The state drove by it for 18 years, never worried about it. They get one phone call, and they come out and they open it up. And as they was opening up, the water was running through. And I said, what in the world are you guys doing? You're flooding me. We got orders to open up the culvert. Yeah, you got orders, all right. But the whole thing was, when they got a phone call, and there's only one person that would have called it. We all know who it is. I told them, I said, you better keep your shovels handy, because I said, it's going to get plugged again. And it did. And they come back out and they dug it out. And they told me if it happened again, I'd be having to pay for it. So, well, I also got a little reminder from the sheriff when he was there. So they called the sheriff on me, and I let him know, you know, hey, this is illegal. You can't run water on anybody else. They agreed with that, but they said, he's not running water on you. I said, what do you mean he's not running water? You can see it running right now as you're digging it out. It's running onto me. Well, then they got the state engineers out there to shoot the culvert. The culvert actually slopes to the east, not to the west. So he's definitely running water onto me by opening his field up, putting a ditch in there. And when that ditch filled up with water, it couldn't go uphill anymore. It had to come downhill, which run it onto me. And that's forcing it on to Dakota Flats. And I feel this is wrong by both the county's part and the state. But of course you're not going to get anywhere with the state, because they're going to say it's the county's problem. And I know the county has been out, talked with me several times on this. Larry's been out, Tony's been out, and I think you guys all agree that you cannot run water onto somebody else. And it flooded my house. I got water in my basement. I had two pumps running for 8 straight days, keeping water out of my basement. I was the only one that took on water. But those other 5 houses were probably within 3 to 4 inches. If it had got that much higher, they'd have got it too. And the only reason mine did was because I got window wells in the back, which I have drains in. And the drains were plugged up, so the water couldn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
and it had to, and so I had to pump it out, otherwise it was just running in my basement. I worked there all one night keeping those pumps running. If for any reason that pump would have went off, it would have flooded everything. As it is, I had to replace all the carpet and the pad in my whole about 2,800 square foot basement. And I just feel that, you know, this is not right, no matter what, you know. And I think the commissioners and state that ought to do something about it.
Permission to go up there and go in town, all right?
Sure.
How all this stuff works. I'm Mark Lund on his old property, so he did, in fact, trespass by cutting that out, which, whatever, no big deal. But in my opinion, I've only been there about 3 years now. 2 years ago, maybe it was, we had the big rain.
Yeah.
That pond was totally full. My wife and I were nervous, but it stayed in the pond. You know, a month or so ago when we had all this trouble, it was a third of the way in my yard, on my sides, and it came across our front road. I mean, we literally lived on the island for almost a week. Praise the Lord, we didn't get any water in our house, but something had to change. That hadn't happened in 3 years prior to that. And I guess my question to you is, if I go by, and don't take this as a smartass, but I'm trying to make a point, if I go buy a commercial pump and a long hose, just start pumping the pond into his field, is that okay? So if that is, then we can all leave. If it's not, that's exactly what he's doing with that trench he dug. The whole length between our properties, he dug a trench probably yay wide by yay deep to get all the water to go to the front so it can go under that, whatever you call it, that state.
Culvert.
Culvert. The state just made us unplugged. I mean, that water normally wouldn't be there. He's directing that water that way. So something really needs to be done.
But if you'd pump it into his back to his field, it would just go down the highway.
True.
Just circulate.
The point is, he's directing that flow. That's just not naturally going that way. I can show you a picture. It's the whole length. It's crazy. If he would have just spent that time and money digging a freaking drainage pond, we wouldn't even be here discussing this.
And if he had called the state, we wouldn't be here. Because if that would have stayed plugged, we wouldn't be having that problem.
But I mean, in a perfect world, that should be unplugged. That's the purpose of it. Mm-hmm. But up to this point, just that corner was filled with drain there, which is really not an issue because it wasn't that much water. But now he's funneling his entire field. I don't know if you guys are the gravity of this. I mean, it's like a freaking river. That's all working its way back, and it's going to go back to our pond. So, I mean, what's fair is fair. I wasn't around when he did the development, but if he had to build a drainage pond, he should have to do something on his side.
And that's, I'm Sherry Pringer, and that's the bottom line. We didn't ask questions if there was a law that they could tell us to put in a pond or anything. Common sense is all it took. They knew that was a piece of property that did have water standing on it. It was low, and they said, okay, we need to do something about it to avoid trouble in the future. And so we did the pond. It cost us a lot of money, more than we had planned on at the time, I know, but it saved us. All these years, we have not had water problems. Not until, you know, this
March.
Recent incident happened. And this is not a county deal, but just as another example, across the road, the landowner farmer across the road on the north side of Highway 20, when they put in the other two lanes for Highway 20 and made it four lane out there, that guy had a field that was flooded all the time. I think everybody heard about it. It was in the paper, and he had a big old boat sitting up there and everything. He was unhappy. But he dealt with the state on that. That's what I'm saying. It was in county. But it ended up that the state said, hey, we're not in the business of draining. We're in the business of building roads. You're on your own. And so he had to do his own. He built a trench that went north and south and got rid of the water, you know, so he took care of it himself, and just as we did. And that's why right now we're saying, when Tom bought that land next to us, we all knew it had water standing on it, just like ours did before we developed it. So it's not like this is something unusual that happened. Every year there were wet spots in there. And so that was the condition of the land when he bought it, so he should have been aware of it. So if we put our own pond in at our expense, I think we should ask Tom to put a pond in at his expense. It's just common sense.
Have you spoken with Mr. Boski recently?
No.
Maybe he's going to do something different.
Well, I was told that he was planning on digging a ditch along 8th or 155th Street and draining it to the pond, to the Crystal Lake. But I don't think that's going to happen. Gene Murray tried that and didn't get by with it. They said you can't drain it into Crystal Lake because it's got farm chemicals. Kill the fish or whatever. But that was a couple years ago or three, four, whatever. But from my understanding, that's what he was thinking about doing. But right now, everything's draining my way, and he's made an intention to drain it that way.
Yep.
He's even halfway through, and there again, the field flooded maybe 5 or 6 times out of every 10 years.
Can I show you something there?
Yeah.
And
come on up.
So for those, I don't know if you even know, this is the drainage pond, right? Mm-hmm. So again, I've only been here 3 years, yep. So, but it's never left that. It was literally up a third of the way here, and this is a low spot, so this was all water, and this is kind of a low spot, this was all water, then of course it came over the road here. So I mean, I literally was surrounded by water. This is the trench he dug.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's funneling it that way.
So Don, as that water goes through that trench and causes the culvert there, it comes back around, there's culverts under these drives, and it comes back around and then
right.
The backside.
Just the long way to the...
Just the long way around.
Yeah.
It's got the water from busy, but here, it kind of gets there.
Essentially, all the way up to there is this that. That's what he dug.
Where he continued the culvert,
it's clear funneling it that way
to
now.
The highway there, that straight part on the
yeah,
lot line of straight concrete.
That's what he dug, the whole length of that property.
He should not have
done
right
that. Away.
They said they were going to notify him that he had to have it filled in, but it hasn't happened yet.
There are no culverts?
There are
no culverts across the 4-lane in that area.
There is.
But they're just equalizer
type.
Yeah. It's an equalizer.
This is some information that the state gave Don showing that according to their elevations, everything should drain to the east. I mean, it's pretty flat. It's not a lot.
Yeah.
That is the information they gave Don, showing that was their intention. Things are supposed to drain to the east. It's all fairly flat. It's not like we're talking hills and gullies mm-hmm. and stuff here. Like I said, it boils down to common sense that we went ahead and put the lot in. We wanted to take care of the people that were going to be living there and not be encroaching on somebody else. And I just think it would be a good idea if Tom's Field did the same thing.
All right.
Rather than taxpayer dollars, I don't think this should get into anything that the county
yeah.
does.
And I don't know that, you know, I mean,
should not have to deal with this. Absolutely.
I mean, it's not like the county has the authority to tell somebody what to do with their property. You know, I mean,
well,
it's,
they probably didn't have the authority to tell us either, but
they asked you and you took care of your business.
And like I said,
yeah, in a
perfect sense prevails, and we did it because we wanted to be good neighbors.
In a perfect world, you know, it'd be nice if everybody took care of their stuff, but it just,
I know.
Unfortunately, it's not the world we live in.
I know.
You know, the meeting I went to in Pender on Friday was on flooding and ag land, and probably everybody's aware of this, but I guess I learned something that the government will help restore like drainage systems and you know, whether it's tiling, terraces, ditching, whatever it is, and they will cover between 75% and 90%, but they have to work with the landowner to do that, and up to $500,000.
Mm.
They just have to work with their local FSA.
Well, I thought that Mr. Boskay was going to do that.
That's what I was thinking. I thought we directed him that direction.
He was going to talk to NRD.
The NRD. He's going to talk to the NRD and see if they could get anywhere where they could run water back towards the old Crystal Lake area.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know if he has or hasn't.
I don't either.
We have to have the project approved, but it didn't sound like when I was at that meeting that
it was feasible and possible.
They could work with local landowners too.
Yeah. Unrelated to this, I would really. You know, you guys did a very nice job out there. It's a really nice addition to the community, your whole development out there. And I know that it's a big undertaking, and thank you for doing that in the beginning.
Well, there's 16 houses there now, and there's two more to be built here this summer.
Yeah.
And, you know, the tax base you're getting off that 16 houses is way more than you're ever going to get off 80 acres of farmland that floods anyway.
As far as, you know, the state's culvert, I mean, there's no way that we have any authority to...
I understand.
Well, that's probably taking care of itself anyhow. Like I said, first the state guys told us it does slope to the east. And just from all of this washing in from Bosquet's field, it's about half full of dirt now.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes it a natural event, the fact that the dirt washed in there.
Mm-hmm.
So he told us nobody can dig that dirt out. So that's
going
to be shutting off his drainage through that anyhow. Mm-hmm. So that part will take care of itself. But this deal with cutting through berms...
Yeah.
And over on Len's property and scraping out dirt. And, you know, we tried filling them in, and he'd go dig them out again. It wasn't a one-time thing.
Yeah, I know you had law enforcement out there.
It was a very developing deal.
Mm-hmm.
And, when you're sitting there and you're seeing everybody's house surrounded by water, and it's never, ever happened in 22 years. We didn't even in the year of the flood. You know, I know there were people in town that had some issues with the year of the flood. We had no problem because it was taken care of. But
we
can't take care of that property, too. That's all.
It's, this year showed every weak point in any drainage system in the county. You know, we had that perfect storm. And they always talk about the perfect storm or the 500-year flood, and it seems like it happens every other year anymore. But, it did. It just showed a lot of those weaknesses.
But those, if I may interject, those weaknesses are... caused by him. He dug out the berm and then dug the trench. If those two things didn't happen, we wouldn't even have this discussion, in my opinion.
Yeah. So and the fact we had 2 inches of rain on frozen ground on top of snow is really, because you guys have always handled it in the past. Your pond has always handled it in
we
the past.
And,
we didn't have all these roads wash out and culverts wash out until we had that event. Not to say that event won't happen again next year.
Right. But, this was different, though. I understand places. I know there's places in the county where entire farms were practically underwater.
Yeah.
And that is Mother Nature. That is something that you can't stop. This was done on purpose, I guess, is the difference of the two situations.
All right. Well, I appreciate that. Appreciate all your information.
Appreciate
you bet. Come on in.
Is it legal to run water into the county ditch? Can I drain my? I'm on the other side of the road, but can I drain my water into your ditches?
Well, into a county road ditch or a state highway ditch?
Either one. Can I drain my stuff into? Can I better my property by draining my stuff on your county? That's a question.
I always wondered about that too, and I asked the state engineer about it. They said, "Heck yes." I said, "You can?" And I said, "I can't believe it." And she said, "Oh yeah." She's a new one here, but she said, "Oh yeah." And I said, "Okay, so suppose you run enough water in the ditch that goes over the highway. Well, that'd be a subject that'd have to be addressed."
Well, what if I soften up the roadbed?
Yeah, I understand that.
That's exactly what's happened at Dakota Flats right now.
Yeah,
you can drive out there, and there's three new cracks in my road from where it was flooded.
And even the
right
highway
in front of Mark's driveway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the highway
there's two new cracks.
You soak up the roadbed.
And the garbage trucks and everything else is breaking it up now. And
so
you know,
there's
eventually,
no law against that.
I don't know, really. I mean, Cam, you're...
I guess the most spots, I'll just put a pump and pump it in the road ditch. You okay with that?
Yeah,
what's
that?
What?
Pump and pump it in the road ditch. You okay with that?
With what?
If I get some low spots in my yard and get some water, I'll just run a hose out there and pump it in the road ditch. That's what he's doing.
I mean, same with me asking the pump question. I mean, it's silly, but it's trying to make a point.
Mm-hmm.
He's directing that water.
Mm-hmm.
There's no difference. He's directing it through a trench versus a pump. Both are directing water purposefully.
Yeah, those water issues are so tough. You know, they have,
but it's very obvious that it's created by him.
But there's an easy answer to this one. You know, we were asked to put in a pond, and we did it. And so I guess, to me, it's an easy solution. It wouldn't cost any taxpayer dollars, and it would take care of the situation.
The money and the time it took him to spend digging that trench along that half-mile road. If he had spent that just digging a pond in one spot, mm-hmm. he'd have lost maybe an acre of ground. This way, he's losing at least 5 to 6 acres probably along that whole way, and he's done nothing because it is not going anywhere. All he's doing is sitting there mm-hmm. making mosquitoes now, or will. And, you know, he's trying to drain it because it's always wet.
Mm-hmm.
And he turns around and spends $100,000 on an irrigation plant for 70 acres. Even the stupidest farmer will be able to know that isn't going to pay off. Thank you.
You bet. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right. Sarah Feinberg requesting approval, First Amendment to the Public Service Radio Governance Agreement, formed to govern Siouxland Tri-State Radio Communication System, STARCOM, radio network, and provide a funding source to ongoing maintenance operation costs associated with the system, agreements between Woodbury County, Iowa, Union County, South Dakota, South Sioux City, Nebraska, Sioux City, Iowa, Sergeant Bluff, Iowa, North Sioux City, South Dakota, and Dakota County, Nebraska.
So this is an amendment to the existing STARCOM. To be quite honest, I didn't see what was different in here. I think that they must have changed one or two things. I don't think as far as the payment, they didn't increase it or anything like that. I think it just has to do with the state of Iowa entering into an agreement with the radio system.
Three things.
It really doesn't affect us a lot.
They removed.
These are the three changes.
Three things. They removed. They updated the...
Oh, yeah. Actually, you sent me that, didn't you? And when I printed it off, that didn't show up.
And then they updated Gary Brown no longer does invoices.
Okay.
So it wasn't. It's not a lot.
Yeah. And Glenn said, or said to me, he said that it wasn't that big a deal. It's just something I had to go through. So yeah. I'm just looking for signatures.
Is that funded through, what is that funded through, Sheriff?
The STARCOM?
Yeah.
It's funded through all of them.
The different entities.
Yeah.
And then do you pay the county's portion through your regular budget, or what is that?
I don't know where that money
comes from. Okay.
But I know it's part of this whole LEC thing.
Okay.
So it's split, and
between
it comes out of
yeah.
that type of funding. So
all right.
I've never seen that money.
Okay. All right.
All right, well, I'll make a motion to accept the changes.
And I'd second that.
Marty?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
I have one more question for you, Chuck.
Yes.
What's the first, FirstNet? FirstNet.
So first,
what is that service? What does it do?
So it's a state radio system, basically our wireless type system, and it's comprised of the state. It's actually what it is the state trying to offer data and equipment to all the entities, and it ties into their state radio system. It ties into public power. For us, it was too expensive to get into. Because we're already in STARCOM.
Yeah.
And the radio coverage doesn't cover. So FirstNet, there's a lot of stuff that falls under FirstNet.
Okay.
And I can get you definitions of them because, quite honestly, I don't need it that close.
But the bill that we get, what are we getting for that?
When we get billed for FirstNet?
Yeah. What are we getting? Well, what
gosh,
are they?
I don't know.
He's talking about the air cards.
Oh.
That FirstNet.
Well, that's not FirstNet. That's AT&T.
Well, FirstNet, AT&T Mobility.
So what you're referring to is the terminals in the deputy vehicle. So for them to get data on those terminals, to
okay.
use the mandated e-citation stuff.
Oh, okay.
The only way we can do that is through a phone company with wireless PUCs because we don't have countywide
Wireless.
Wireless.
So it creates a hot spot in the car to...
That's all it does.
Okay. All right.
It's expensive, though.
Yeah. I was just curious. So. All right.
So, but FirstNet's a different thing, though, so maybe we got that...
Well,
up.
No, it's on that bill. It's on an AT&T mobility bill, FirstNet.
Okay, so it probably ties into the e-citations, right? I'm sure.
Huh.
Okay, anything else you want to press or ask me?
No. I heard you had a good round table. We'll get have to talk
yeah.
down the road.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
Thanks, Sheriff.
So, all right, D, Fred Kellogg's Highway Superintendent requesting board approval and for myself to sign the gravel bid agreements per price per bidders approved on April 8th, 2019 board meeting. And we looked at them and I signed it. So, thank you for sitting here for 2 hours to get that signature there. So.
After
we
get in the gravel, huh?
Yeah. So, Fred, the situation, well, let's go ahead and do our highway report next, and then we'll have any questions for Fred.
I think we need to take action on,
okay.
on that. He's requesting that the board approve you to sign.
Okay. So, we anybody willing to make the motion to approve the bids?
That goes back to approve. See, like I said earlier today, you know, where LGRS would have. They don't know what you want for material if you want material from. Tonnage wise.
Mm-hmm.
See, Hallett and LGRS, well, Hallett can't give the gravel to you, ask for so many times. Even though you accept their price, they got to have a quantity. And I'm sure LGRS is the same way up in Akron because they've got a pile there today, but it belongs, well, it's spoken for by Wood Plymouth County. And I guess the way it stands right now, it doesn't look like we're going to be buying anything other than fresh concrete, right? Wrong or
for now, I think that's probably the case.
So, do we even consider these other bids?
Well, we have always had it, so we have that ability to go forward if the situation arises in the fall. They get caught up. They have material available, and we want that material. We have the bid on our. Sheets, whether they honor that bid or not because of the situation that's happened, I guess, is beyond our control.
Yeah. I guess I don't have any. I guess if it's going to be road gravel, does it mean
we'll still lock into that?
Yeah.
Right now, FEMA even says with flood, when you ask any contractor, you might be paying only get one bid, whether you want three. You might not get any bid and have to pay what just one contractor says you have to pay. In other words, if we couldn't get any material, we might have to pay $25 a ton if we wanted to get the material, which we do. So
you're talking like going to LGOs and spending
if you had to
$6 a ton.
If there was no crushed concrete in the area or there's no other possibility and you absolutely had to have some rock, that would be your option.
So that would be the only option.
If it was the only option.
It would be the only because Hallett don't have it, won't have it, neither will LG ever. As far as road gravel, I will try to say ground balance. Yeah, whatever. Yes. I guess if we're going to get anything out of crushed concrete, it's going to have to be quartzite. That means whatever, I guess. I guess you can't. You know, this late in the game, we're kind of in a position where we got to go to LGRS yard or crush concrete. You know. Is Newcastle making gravel?
That last time I talked to Tom, he said he had some up. He ain't making any, but he had some up there. He couldn't get there to get it. The road was up.
Yeah.
In his pit and the county road.
Oh.
That was 2 weeks ago. I've not talked to him since then.
Because I guess maybe I could get it from Silver, too. You know, so that'd be road gravel.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. Thanks, Red.
Is anybody making a motion?
Motion to sign.
We have to make a motion if we're going to go forward with these bids.
Oh.
If we're not, then we're not.
I guess we're going to go forward with it.
Yeah, why wouldn't we have?
I would think, I would think so. Yeah.
You don't have to buy anything from them. It's just that you accept their bids.
Yep.
If you choose to.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I make that
motion. I'll second it.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep. All right, Fred, County Road Report.
April 7th through the 20th, maintenance hours 348, overtime hours 18 and a half, gravel hauls 5,332 tons, sign repairs and barricading 16 hours, roof concerns, grading K Avenue, West Harpy, M Avenue, North Jackson, Lake Juana, F Avenue, L Avenue, S Avenue, Elgin, Mills Beach, 220th Q Avenue, gravel, K Avenue, a culvert concern, 260th Street. We got one more stop there, and one on Park Avenue also.
The crushed concrete seems to be going fine.
Yeah.
And we said we're going to run the magnet down the road if.
Yeah. See if we complaints about it.
Mm. You did?
Huh?
Did you?
Yes.
Oh, you
North of Jackson.
Oh, yeah. That same guy probably called me.
I got called about 200 G Avenue, that area.
We have a road magnet. We'll take it out. I thought I'd be back a little earlier. I was going to call a gentleman north of Jackson. We also had complaints about LG Everett's rocks being sharp, cutting tires. So we've had, when we hauled out of Higman's, we said it was too soft and it was getting dust on their property. It's not unusual to have a complaint about
something different.
We're at the time right now where we don't have any other choice for the price. It's good material.
Whereabouts on 200 was it?
Around 200th and G.
Oh, that's all port side, isn't it?
I was just told that they were finding metal in the concrete.
Didn't we put all port side on it out before the price increase, wasn't it?
Up at on
200.
What's that?
200.
Yeah.
That's all port side, isn't it?
No.
Oh.
We hauled some on
west side of the bridge.
On the west side of the bridge, we hauled some, and then there was a couple spots right there on H.
Oh.
They got left out between H and I.
Oh, better spots?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They probably got some on it too, Larry.
Okay.
But, yeah, like I said, we'll hear it again.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Fred. All right, Carol.
Thanks,
Larry. Extension educator, University of Nebraska, to present an update.
Do you have a comment?
Well, no, I thought I was
going
to get to speak under the road situation. I talked to
John
about it earlier.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
I was about a road situation that's definitely affecting my property. In 2011, I came up here on a culvert, and I took out that issue with a neighbor that doesn't want the culvert, but now... And I couldn't print this out. I took these pictures, but if you can look at this is now what this neighbor is doing to me on the north side. He is filling that ditch. You can see that.
Yeah, I was down there, I saw it. There you go, around there.
Okay.
Here. Doesn't go black on it. And he's also got a stretch going straight west of me.
Mm-hmm.
If ain't a law against somebody filling in the ditch, there sure as heck ought to be. And the problem is, these farmers are farming these ditches. They're filling up bad enough the way it is. And now we're deliberately taking, and not just farming them, we're putting dirt in them.
And that's cornstalk, cornstalk piles.
And a lot of dirt in there, too. And I took that Kenny Barrows to death. And I went up and talked to him about it. He said, well, what am I going to do with it? I don't know, but the ditch ain't in place. And he said, well, I'll get it out of there, but I don't know when. Well, the problem is, if he does that this fall and then spreads it back on this field, by then, the rains like we got last night are going to wash all that ditch down through and just put more dirt in that ditch, which eventually caused more water getting on my property, which already has too much water getting on my property. Really, there's rules against people filling in ditches. Now, I'm not talking about water. I'm talking filling it physically with dirt. I mean, yeah, there's corn stalks in there, but there's dirt in there. And it's going to permanently fill that ditch. Now, why is that being allowed? And I understand it's helping not just on my property. I've heard that, other people are doing the same thing.
Yeah, everybody's having to deal with those stocks with the water.
They had to deal with it, but put it in the middle of your field and haul it away later. Don't put it in the county ditch. Are we going to stop that?
The suggestion was made.
I'm glad you stuck around, Brad, because, I mean, it's one of the issues. Yes, you've probably seen it elsewhere.
Yes, I have. I've seen it throughout the county, and I went up by your property today. And the suggestion was made we put a piece in the paper to make them give them a time to clean up their stocks out of the county right-of-way. And if not, then a contractor or someone will have to clean it because it impedes, like you say, the flow of water. But anyway, and then it'll be added onto their taxes or they'll have to pay for it in any other way. But the hard thing is just to contact all these landowners. A lot of people rent their ground.
And Kenny doesn't own that land. He rents it.
Yes.
But he's the one doing it.
Yeah, this is not an isolated case. It is.
But why isn't, I remember when I had...
This all happened within the last week. I don't know what happened in your
well, back in... He did that Friday and Saturday.
Yes. And so, like I say, within the last week, I've been noticing it. And it was middle of last week.
His answer, well, I'll get it out of there, but I don't know when, is not an acceptable answer. Now is the answer.
Yeah.
It's because if I get a big rain, well, two things, even if it doesn't flood me, because it isn't that heavy enough, it is going to, just getting the stalks out later isn't the answer. You've added dirt into that ditch by doing this process. There's a lot of dirt in there with it. And they shouldn't be even allowed to, I don't know why they're allowed to farm the ditches. I mean, that has to stop, too. I mean, these ditches need, that was, road was put in there about three, I moved in that acreage in 82, and that road was put in there probably about 3 years later than that, so somewhere 85, that road was raised, which is another old issue. And that was all dug out. So for a while, it would hold water. But now I've been having a problem because that ditch and the one that goes west has all been filled. They're farming those ditches. And somewhere somebody's got to put a stop to it. On the issue of those ditches, I know that back in 2011, I did quite a bit of research on ditches and stuff, and there's a Nebraska statute that says the farmers are not to fill the ditches or and should keep them cleaned out. Now, there's also a court case that says that doesn't apply to county road ditches. They aren't required to clean them out. Of course, that's assumed they're not the one filling it in. But also, it's a different scenario. Back then, and this is a law that passed in like the 50s, I mean, a long time ago, an old statute. People didn't farm their ditches. They had fence loads and they farmed up to the end of the fence and went. They didn't farm the ditches.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm thinking, okay, now you're farming these ditches. I think that statute ought to apply to you. You know, if you're going to farm them, then the statute should apply to you. Yeah, there is a statute on that. I do have the other issue of that culvert. I wasn't really going to talk about the culvert quite this quick. I wanted to get some more information lined up. And I don't even ask for a decision on it today. But I want to know what the rules are. And I like the comments of the people that were here before. When they contacted the state, they said, in Dakota County, the water flows to the east. Well, guess what? F Avenue runs north and south and stops the water on. And I'm on the west side of F Avenue. That water wants to go east. And for some reason, no culverts were ever put in there. on F Avenue. I did talk to Kenny Barbels. Kenny and I just talked, but at some point in time, I guess I got to just assume he and I could agree on this. He has admitted that the water would flow onto that property, and we had some. You went out and we tested those elevations. This is back in 2011, if you remember, Fred. My side sits higher than the road on the other side. And so I'm not asking to dig a ditch like these people were talking. Some are digging a ditch and trying to empty it into the... I'm just wanting the water to flow like it would flow. And so I don't know, Tim, if you have an answer. Does the county have rules on when they do and don't put culverts in? Why? I'm trying to figure out why culverts were never put in on F Avenue to start with. And you probably weren't here then, but what are the rules that the county goes by?
No, but we're getting a little bit off topic here.
Okay, all right.
We can stick to what's on the agenda. Yeah.
When the roads are built, they probably go the recommendation of the engineers, you know, nowadays. But in those days, who knows? That road's been there.
And I don't think we've had rain and water events from 2011 till now.
From 2018. Yes, last year we did.
Oh, that's what I mean, from 2011 to present. Yeah. Before then, we never had water problems, the rain issues that we've had. Yeah. Now, I ain't saying it never rained, but I don't think we've had water
issues. And this is still a road issue. Why are these roads being allowed to be farmed? Which causes those ditches to fill in. And that's happened over years.
All right. And so we'll go ahead and we'll follow up with what Fred had talked about possibly doing something in the paper and giving them X amount of time to get it done.
And I think the county should pass some policies on you fill those up when you start farming them. And I think the county needs to address that in their road. I think it's a road department issue. But
it is. So I would be a corn cop all summer. If I were farming it right away,
so
that would be my job.
What would be wrong with putting a tube across the road? I mean, I'd gladly do it for now.
If there isn't one there now, we are changing the flow of water. There wasn't that way today.
Like he said, we bought his house. The road wasn't there to put the road in across the dam.
I don't want anybody to be flooded. All I know is if we put a culvert there, that flow, we're actually changing the flow of water. That water didn't run to the east. We put a culvert in there. It is now. That person across the road, he doesn't want that water. It never ran that way before. Just as you've probably heard, the people that were in here before never ran and had water run that way before.
He's digging a ditch.
But they're changing the course of water. Yeah. That's what you do. When you put it, if there's already a culvert there, not a problem. Fix the culvert. But for me to actually, if you could get an engineer in there and say that it has to be in there or you're going to flood the whole county, you might. One person, I'm just saying, I can't change the flow of water. The county can.
All right, thanks,
Brad.
The
county did, though, in 2085. They changed the flow of water. If you look at that, that's a dam. That's not a road. It is a dam we put in there when they put F Avenue in there. I got 160 acres from the north and west coming into 6 acres, and the county put a dam. So the dam, don't tell me the county didn't change the flow of water.
Just give me just a second, and we'll wind it up. If you looked at the original road or the original maps of Dakota County, the elevation maps, before when this county was originally started, and you went out with a transit and you shot in every farm field in this area, I can show you 20 places where the water runs the opposite direction that it was originally intended to flow. Because through the years of farming, things are built up, and things... You go through the old lake bed down there past the stone ground and go up through there and see how many times that water runs a direction away from the river where it was never intended to run. It does it everywhere. So, you know, these are all situations. We can talk till tomorrow morning about it. But I think let's go ahead and move ahead with our situation here, and we'll call her good.
All right. I probably am going to want to get on the agenda again sometime.
All right.
Deal with my specific situation.
Yep. Sounds good. Carol Arvick. Extension educator, University of Nebraska, to present an update, Cooperative Extension Office Program. Thank you, Carol. Thanks for your patience.
Oh, you're welcome. I hate to say that
cooperative is not in our name anymore. Hasn't been there for a long time.
Uh-oh.
But I still am cooperative.
So, we appreciate that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, hang on. So I just wanted to put together a little bit about what we've been doing lately so that you have an idea.
Thank you.
And it's just a variety of things. I got a couple of things in there I want to visit about. And a couple things that aren't in the packet that I thought I'd tell you that we're doing, just so you kind of knew what our office was up to these days. And I have one for Tony, too.
Yep.
I'll give him to it when I go through it. So, as we had a flood way back when, we've had kind of floodwaters. Just for your information, or if anybody asks, the university has a great website with a lot of information on flooding. The Siouxland Garden Show, the last three pieces in this are about flooding with gardening and trees. It's kind of the water day today, I've kind of decided as I'm set here. So I thought we'd get that done and over with. Now, last year, Brenda Sale talked about the Voices for Food. And the Voices for Food, I thought I'd give you an update on it. And so there's two pieces in there of the food pantry and also where they're collecting fresh produce for it. So that's really your packet that's there. Oh, one other thing on there. We all kind of know that bees are important, whether they be honeybees or solitary bees. And so we're doing a workshop on bees. And we had to add a second class to it because a lot of people around here are interested. So I'm pretty excited about that because a third of our food, at minimum, bees make possible.
The fresh produce program has been very successful, hasn't it?
It has. Over 9,000 pounds of food last year.
And with the bloomer program that the ASC office put in, there's so many more around. You're seeing a big population boom and home beekeepers and things like that.
Yeah, wonderful. We're putting in five honeybee hives at the community orchard this year. So I'm pretty excited about that. So lots of flood cards, if you know anybody that needs them. We do in our office, we got brand new ones. We had some for the 2011 flood, but we have brand new ones. They're moisture meters.
Mm.
So if you know of anybody that has had flood waters, that needs to find out if the after they take the drywall out, or they can also check their drywall with it, but especially the wood framing, if it's dry enough to put drywall back up, we have that available. We have a new thing that we're doing. Agriculture is really pretty big in this county, and so one of the things we want to do is a lot of the kids don't know a lot about agriculture if they don't grow up on a farm or have friends on a farm. And so we're doing a event for fourth graders. And it's going to have live animals there, beef, goats, dairy, poultry, rabbit, swine. We also are going to talk about nutrition, corn, ag technology, and Siouxland ethanol is going to be there. And so it's I believe it's a half-day program. And at this point, we have 80 students registered to come, and that's in a couple of weeks coming up. So those are just a couple of the things that are happening. That we have going on. We have a lot more going on, too. And if you ever have any questions about any of the things, please ask us or call our office. We'd love to visit with you about that. So that's kind of my update. Unless you guys have any questions, we can move on to the next item on your agenda. Get this meeting.
No, thanks for all that information. It's nice. Where did they get all those kids to sign up from all the area schools?
Homer School is coming, and I believe at least one school in South Sioux is coming. And then we haven't heard. The deadline's not here yet on when they have to sign up. So I'm guessing we'll have more schools from South Sioux come.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
And then back at you, Carol.
Yes.
You're going to add a new board member.
Yes. We came to you earlier with a couple new board members, and we had one that was kind of in the works but hadn't completed the paperwork yet, and our board hadn't had a chance to look over that and say, yeah, we think this would be a good match. And so her name is Robyn, R-O-B-Y-N, Birch, B-U-R-C-H. She's a new person to our community. She actually is retired, and she worked in Alaska for the, I think it's the National Park Service. I remember correctly. And they retired in this area, and they're actually living with her brother at the moment, but they bought a house that they're remodeling near Hubbard, I think. And so I think she'll be a great person for our board. She worked in human services or human resources. So would like to present her as a possible board member.
Very nice.
I believe you guys need to vote
make a,
on that.
Yep.
I'll make a motion to accept Robin Birch as super.
I'd second member. That. No, I would second that.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Kevin?
Yes. I ran into Jim Hubbard the other day and asked him about getting back on your board, and he thought that would be a good fit for him.
Yeah.
Now that he's retiring. Or changing jobs, really, now, is it?
Yep, that's his stuff. Okay.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
D, approve or disapprove resolution 19C-01 for the abandonment of the minimum maintenance portion of 250th Street, South 14th, and South 23rd-T27N-R6E.
That was Mr. Pat Dorsey's request. He called me today. I said he did not think he had to come back again today.
Yep, it's that road that...
That's the road that we've been talking about.
Yeah, on
that.
Yeah, we had a hearing.
Nobody's...
Yeah.
We had a hearing on it. Mm-hmm. Nobody...
Yeah. I'll make a motion to approve that abandonment if nobody's... I mean, Fred's mm-hmm. okay with it.
Yeah, I'm okay.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to oppose it.
Okay.
To abandon the road.
Jana?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
All right. E, approve petty cash resolution 19C-012 in the amount of $3,240.60 for the Office of Cooperative Extension Agent, 23-106-22-1604.
I'll make a motion. This is the one we met on the other day with Tammy, correct?
Yep.
Yeah.
I'd second that.
Marty?
Yep.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Okay. And then approve resolution 19C-013 to establish a fee schedule for Dakota County. And that has been done. There is in your packet, I believe.
This is something the state auditors requested after auditing, that we get that in writing.
So this is a master list of all the fees?
It is quite a few offices. Yep.
Okay. Are they pretty consistent at Linden, though?
Well, they were made consistent, weren't they, throughout?
I mean, I'm wondering, how do we know that our fees are comparable to our, I mean, I noticed it's 25 cents a page for copies, which seems logical, but I just was curious if these rates are normal. I'm assuming they work with their counterparts in the county to determine those levels.
It's pretty expensive.
I mean, I don't know if it's a normal permit rate or not. I mean, it's a nice list, but...
I would make a motion to accept the resolution for the fee schedule for Dakota County, 19C-013.
I'll second that.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep. All right, Commissioner Committee Report. Anybody got anything?
I was at that meeting, that flood meeting in Pender. And, you know, I mean, just hearing what we heard today, like I said, it was water drainage day. There's no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering, do our local farm, I mean, I would assume they're somewhat aware of these programs where they can go and get a propose a plan, and up to 75% to 90% will be paid for by the
Yeah, that's
FSA and NCRD, and I mean, it talked about drainage and you know, tiling, terracing, all kinds of kind of what we've been talking about. Is that our role to figure out how to guide a countywide drainage plan, and then the various farmers would pick, cover their component of it? I know it's.
Yeah,
well attended.
It really wasn't. That was what was really. I mean, I've had one-on-one time with these folks that I was asking questions, and you know, Robert Hall, the Englishman in Omaha. But yeah.
What department was he with?
He was with the USDA.
USDA.
But there was people there from the FCA, Farmer, what's FCA stand for? What is the acronyms? Natural Resources Conservation Services, the
Farm
FSA
Service.
Was Farm Service Association.
Oh, okay.
That's where they start. They file a report, say, I think I need some drainage ditches, I need tiling, I need this. They file the report, if they approve it, you know, you get reimbursed for 75% to 90%, up to $500,000.
Mm-hmm.
Would that solve some of these concerns we're having?
Yeah, I don't know. I would think so. Like you take a piece of ground like the Bosquet ground that we keep talking about, and you tile it to one place or the other, and you discharge that water, then you're going to have the same situation with somebody else further down the line. I don't know.
That's what brought up when I talked to that state gal that said the district got woman around here. Over there in the Hubbard where the pump is, they got the drain tile, they pump water up, and it runs out in the road ditch.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's when I was out there that morning. Well, then that's how it all came about.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, you mean to tell me you can pump water in the highway ditch? Oh, yeah. And I said, well, what if it fills up and was over the road? He said, well, that's a little different. Well,
yeah.
So if you got 5 foot of water on this ditch and somebody runs off the road and drowns, is that good?
No. No, it seems to me that they wouldn't want that. But
well, that's what she told me, and I she was quick with the answer, too.
But doesn't that make sense, though, that if the county or the state has made these road plans, that they do have drainage ditches that go to some body of water?
No, they don't go anywhere over there. 35 don't drain nothing.
They don't go into a creek or
that whole bottom that's flooded when Kenny Baker and those guys were all in it. Yeah, that it all drains into that area where there's no outlet, and the creates.
Well, they're supposed to be though. They go into that dike.
Well, on the other side of the creek, there's an inlet, but there's no inlet on that side.
There isn't an inlet on our side.
No.
Or what, our side?
No.
Well, you saw my side.
Yeah. Well, there is an inlet on your side. There's no inlet on the other side, on the bottom.
Oh. On the east side.
Yeah. And that's one of the things he's hoping to work with the ASC office.
And yeah, he did contact the NRD.
Did he?
But they were going to pay for the pipe, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I was
going to use our road ditch.
The big thing, yeah, that wouldn't be the road ditch wouldn't be a difficult matter for us as a county.
Yeah.
But to get the pipe in through that levee, the creek levee, and not have a leak later and wash the banks out.
Not have a back. You need to have a backflow on it.
Yeah, the backflow on it, plus then around the way you'd have to about bore under it, I guess, or. I guess maybe open cut it and put it in.
Boy, if that thing ever did blow out.
Yeah. See, so it'd be you can do it. I mean, it's been done. We've done it, but you got to be careful. But for $500,000, if you get up to $500,000,
up to $500,000, that and.
I think it's so. Say if they go to $500,000, and the farmers down around there spend another $500,000 or $1,000,000.
And it's per landowner. That's the other thing.
Oh.
So you can't really go each landowner. But they have to do it collaboratively to some degree. Otherwise, you have this thing of this guy is doing this, and this guy's doing this, and everybody, you know, why don't we take advantage of this opportunity and figure out a way where we can all sit down and say, okay, you're just going to pay $20,000 or $50,000 and finance it. Because they have short-term loans, low-interest loans that you could finance your part.
Well, I guess if I was a farmer down there, I'd sure be looking into it.
Mm-hmm. I was like,
especially on that bottom area. Yeah. My gosh, they fight every year, have for the last 50 years trying to grow a crop out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Work together, bring it away, pay a little bit right now, and have
not
a better
most,
outcome for everybody.
They're not the most work together people in the world. Anybody else with a commissioner or committee report? All right, mail or emergency business? And then we should probably decide on a date for that Board of Equalization meeting before we get out of here, if we can.
Same.
Monday or Tuesday?
Monday.
Monday at 4?
Monday at 7.
I want to be gone. I want to be gone next week, so I'll be back next Monday.
Well, it is next Monday, right?
No, next meeting, board meeting.
The 29th?
No, we're going to have a special one, though.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah. It would be the 29th.
But the end of this week would be all right, too, for them, so it
won't
Monday.
He won't be. Let's go Monday, the 29th. Does 4 work, Kevin?
If you want to do it at 1.
No, let's just do it at 4. It works better for me anyway. Does it work better for you in the afternoon?
Oh, okay.
Okay, 4 on the 29th.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is just going to be, what do you call it?
Board of Equalization.
I have to call a special.
Equalization.
So I'll put a notice, post a notice at the post office, because there's no, I can't get it in the paper, so.
All righty, then I guess we'll adjourn.
Yeah, there's a workshop on equalization if we decide we should go to this.
Where is it at?
I forgot where it's at.
Party?
Yeah. It's the summer meeting, the 5th, 6th.